Okay, well, let's begin. I think maybe some other people will join us along the way. Some people will watch this later on after we're finished, so that's okay. It is a Friday night. Really, why we're doing this is because we are unable to meet in the church. I was in the church this afternoon trying to set up a new internet connection, got talking to various people. There was one of the dancing classes we're on, and people were standing way too close to one another. I felt like the bad minister and kind of saying, you need to stand quite so close to one another. But I had some really interesting chats with people. People just hoping that Boris is right when he talks about 12 weeks. And then the news at lunchtime today that we're going to have to be practicing social distancing off and on for perhaps a year. So we have to face the possibility that this is the new normal, that this is the kind of thing we're going to have to do on a regular basis, and we'll have to explore some other ways of doing things as well. So it's been hard. I don't know how you've been feeling. I've talked to a few of you at different points during the week. It's been quite hard dealing with the news each day. Something more difficult has come, and I think we have to face the reality that that things might get even more difficult in the weeks and the months to come. We have to be realistic about that, I think. But let's pray, and then I'm going to explain what we how the next hour or so will unfold. Right, okay, let's pray, and we'll go on. This is a bit strange because I can't see anybody's face. I can't see how you're reacting or interacting or anything like that, so it's a bit odd. So forgive me, I'm having to learn how this all goes as well. So forgive me if it all goes wrong. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are able to meet like this, even though we can't meet in person. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the care that you've shown to us down through the years. And we thank you too for Jesus. Above all, we gather tonight in this really strange way to pray and to bring our concerns, to bring our anxieties and our fears and our hopes to you. So we thank you that you're here, even in this room, in a kitchen, in Kirstorfin. You're in all our friends' houses who are listening to this tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, particularly as we turn to your word and as we turn to you in prayer, that this would be an encouraging and a helpful time for everybody who engages with it. So thank you now, and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for those who've recently joined, welcome. And what we're going to do is spend a little bit of time together in this media, and my hope is that we'll have an opportunity to pray. Now, in order for it to work, you need to comment and ask for prayer for things. I mean, I've got a list of things, but that would make it all about the things that I think are important, and you'll have great ideas, I'm sure, that we should be coming to the Lord with. So place the things that you think we should be praying for in the comments. That would be really helpful. Now, did you notice I did something really bad there? I touched my face. Apparently that is now forbidden, and we're not allowed to touch our faces. So we need to be really careful about how we respond to things. One of the things that we're going to have to pray for is just the effectiveness of the social distancing thing. I've talked to a number of people today. I was talking to my daughter, who some of you have been praying for, who's been unwell, and you know, she was saying in Glasgow, lots of people just, you know, they're just not obeying the kind of stricture to not be in close contact with one another. And I was talking to one of our older members this afternoon. I rang a few of our older members to see how they're doing. In fact, he rang me, I didn't ring him. And he was, if you've got the pastoral letter that we sent out earlier in the week, he's put up the section on how to practice social distancing, you know, what that looks like. And he put it up on the notice board in the place in which he lives. And people were saying, who said this? Who's got the authority to say this? Not, you know, we shouldn't be having our grandchildren coming to visit and stuff. So I had to reassure him that that came from the NHS. It didn't come from some wee minister in Edinburgh. But clearly some folk are not wanting to do the social distancing. So, and it's a social distancing that is going to, we think, the government thinks is going to be effective in stopping the spread of coronavirus. So I think that's one thing that's worth praying for. So we'll please put that on your prayer list, that the measures that are being taken would be effective. You know, obviously, this isn't just a medical crisis, it's an economic crisis as well. People are fearful for their jobs. Tens of thousands of people have already lost their jobs. You may have heard that story about the Spanish gentleman working in a hotel in Aviemore who was told, that set you're out of a job, and then went off to, was told he was out of a job and he had nowhere to live. And we were a bit shocked when we heard that. He was being thrown out in the street. But another hotel, McDonald's Hotel, actually, have offered him a place to live, or anyone who had been working there. So that was a kind of act of generosity, and hopefully it was altruistic and genuine. But it's kind of indicative of what's going to happen. People are going to have to make some tough decisions, I guess, and hopefully the response by others will be one of generosity and kindness. So there's a lot of things like that that are going on that are really difficult. Today, of all days, school ending 3 months earlier than it ought to be ending. Young people not getting to finish off primary school and go up to secondary school, not having all the dances and the end of term stuff that goes on, end of year things that go on. It's just like there's a lot of young people who are in complete shock. We were hearing about our niece who's leaving primary school to go to secondary school down in England, and there's a kind of sense of grief. So that's another thing that would be worth praying for tonight as well, just the sense of loss, and then what's going to happen for young people's futures as well. So I'm just throwing these things out here. So far nobody else is commenting. Okay, you've heard enough of my voice already. You're going to have to listen to mine now. This Friday night, and if you watch television, Friday night is late at night on the BBC. We get Graham Norton. So we're going to do the Graham Norton piece of tonight's gathering. And I'm going to have a special guest star come in. I'm really, if you know the Graham Norton show, he has a red chair and people have to tell a story, and they get flipped if the story's not very interesting. So if we do this again, I'll look at getting a red chair. Instead, we've got a sort of light brown wooden chair, and our special guest who's going to help us, I'm going to do a little bit of an interview, is Dr. Ali Cathcart, who's now shaking her head at me, and she's threatening not to do it. So she's going to come, and I'm going to ask her a few questions. She's refused to sit next to me all the way through this. She's only going to come on for this little bit. So here she is, making as much noise as she possibly can, which will upset the microphone terribly. I should really go off the table as well. So welcome, Ali. What kind of week have you had? How have you found... Let me ask you a more specific question. How have you found social distancing? How easy has that been for you?
In terms of social distancing, I have had to make absolutely no adjustments whatsoever to my life, other than cancel things in my diary that I was very happy to cancel. It's kind of, I am not diminishing everything else that goes along with this, but lack of social gatherings, all of that, that's, you know, it's an introvert's dream, so I'm very happy. Yeah. I, you know, we were up this morning and down at Crammond just after 6 a.m. when nobody was around. It was great. It was just lovely. And being able to get out at that time, if we're still allowed to do it, is great. But otherwise, no other adjustments whatsoever.
And at this moment in time, many introverts are kind of saying this is great. I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't even have to be in close proximity to anyone. We'll see how you're getting on. I'm glad that you've let me be in fairly close proximity to you.
Let's see how that pans out.
We're all going to
Who doesn't there. Want to stay in and read books and, yeah. You know, so.
So one of the areas that has been affected really, really massively already is the area of education, which obviously you work in. So could you just tell us what it's been like at university? What are the implications of what's been happening? What's actually happened in your world at the university?
It's been really hard, really very odd. So it was this time, I feel everything changes so fast, that it was this, literally a week ago, it was 8 o'clock last Friday night, I was at my computer and the email came in to say, we're, as of now, moving to online teaching. There will be no more face-to-face classes, no more face-to-face meeting with students. Anything is to be done by phone or Skype or email. That took much of the weekend, just rearranging. When you usually have two-hour seminars with a group of 15 to 20 students to try and figure out how you're going to get all that material, transfer some of it into a lecture that you can post online, start up discussion boards. I was on chat. We have pretty good systems where I work, actually. And so there's an online function where we can just chat during normal seminars. I have a discussion board where they can post throughout the week so they can dip in and out. So that initial weekend took a bit of time just adjusting. And it's a learning curve for me as well. I'm not sure I did it fantastically this week, but I've learned. And I'm just going to try and break it up and make it a little bit more interactive. I mean, in that respect, we're really lucky. We're almost at the end of our teaching term. I only have two more classes with my guys, the last one being a revision class. And then in this week, it's gone very quickly from moving to online teaching to then, even yesterday, I think. Wednesday, we were told we were moving towards a phased closure and how things would shut. And then Thursday, yesterday, the library's now closed. It closed at 5 o'clock. So all this week has been decisions about alternative arrangements for exams, how we're going to assess. The library was great. It immediately said, what resources do you need digitised? Because, we don't know what's going to happen. And thankfully, they started doing that at the very start of this week. So they have put up, by close of day today, they had put up a list of resources that they've now digitised, what students can access online. But every time you think you've reached a solution, another student emails to say, well, I don't have a laptop, or I don't have internet access, or it's just... yesterday was pretty grim. I felt every time I reached something, another student would email, and at one point I was almost in tears, just going, we're doing everything we can. I found myself saying this a lot yesterday, we're doing everything we can, and yet we cannot do everything. And you keep repeating this, and I find myself getting frustrated. I hear the news all the time because I live with somebody who wants to have news on constantly. Everybody keeps saying we're living in unprecedented circumstances, and yet we need to know the answers to what's happened to school exams, what's happened to, and we actually just don't know. I understand for students, especially for our final year students, they've no idea what's happening. You know that their end of 4 years that they've put so much effort into ends quite so abruptly. Of course, universities can't close. We have students, international students, who can't necessarily go home. We have students who've come through the care system and they have nowhere else to go, so we have to stay open for them to some extent, but most services have shut. And to be fair, my institutions, I think, really it's... And, concern for both staff and students. But it has. When I left the office the other day, I went in, although I'd been told to work from home, I was doing that, but when it was closing down, I went in and got a few things. And you leave, I've not been there that long, but you leave just not knowing when you're going to come back. And that's very odd. And even today, getting an email saying as of, 5 o'clock, you will not get back into the building, everything is shut. Universities just don't shut. Yeah. So it's been really hard. The students have been great. They've as much as they may email saying, but I don't have this, that's because genuinely they're concerned, and they've been really, been really patient with us and really understanding. So.
Okay. Well, how can we... I think one of the big questions is how do we pray for the university? I mean, how do we pray for people like you in that situation? What kind of things should we be praying for?
The wisdom to know the right decisions to make. Mm. We've never been in this situation before. As John Swinney said yesterday, we've never had to cancel the exams. Mm. I've seen another Scottish university today put out an announcement that there will be no graduations this year. They're already that far ahead. And for some students, that's what they look forward to, especially in your final year's graduation. I think it's making the wisdom, discernment to make the right decisions, and getting our guys to just over the finish line, really. I think, and also looking out for each other, for our staff. You know, I work in a great division, and we're really good at caring for students and also looking out for each other. But that is harder when we're more remote. You know, and not everybody is from this country. You know, some people have parents halfway around the world, and that's I'm doing a you, aren't I? I'm not really answering your question. What can I get prepared for? Wisdom to know how to respond to my students as best we can, to make the right decisions when we really don't know what the right decisions are. I think.
Okay, well, it would be good to just pause, I think, then, and pray, if that's all right. And let's pray for that particular kind of area of our national life. So let's just pause. You might want to be where you are, just bow your head. And I know this will be a bit odd. You can pray quietly. I'm going to lead us in prayer. We'll just take a minute to quietly pray for all those your students. Let's include the young people in that, the children. With the end of school, and teachers as well. I know that our teachers, the St Thomas's, who are members of St Thomas's, well, St Thomas's, there's quite a lot of confusion about what they're going to be doing, who they're going to be looking after. Will they be looking after the key workers' children, teaching them, who's still going to get into school? So they need a little bit of clarity about that. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, then we'll just have a few minutes. If you're with somebody else, you might want to pray together. Nobody else can hear your prayers tonight, apart from the Lord. So if you want to pray out loud, that's fine. You can do that where you are. You don't have to worry about getting the words right. So let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll pause for a few moments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Ali. We thank you for all those who are committed to teaching in universities up and down the land. And Lord, we do pray for wisdom to make the right choices and the right decisions, both now and in the days to come. We pray for all those young people who are confused by what is happening, who are worried about the future, worried about whether they will graduate, whether they'll get to university next year. Lord, would you give them comfort tonight, and grant patience and kindness to all those who are around them, who are guiding them and giving counsel to them through these difficult days. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be silent for a few moments as we lift up the whole education sector to the Lord. Let me just share Phil Taylor. Welcome, Phil. Nice to have you here. Who's written in the comments, in case you're not able to pick the comments up. Pray for those who are not getting to have a proper closure to the year at school, particularly those who have not had a chance to say goodbye to friends, and for those who valued the support of friendship groups at school. So we will remember them in the days to come. And we're going to have to explore how we pray. I better let my wife depart at this point, if she doesn't want to be on camera anymore. I definitely need to get a red chair and use that on you. Damien has said, Damien, can we please talk more about Jesus and less about this virus, which has kind of overtaken Jesus and everything else at present? This is a good thing, Damien, well done for suggesting that. We hear it, but I think we have to be realistic as well. The danger is that we are unrealistic about what's happening, and we've got responsibility to try and encourage people and help people. So that's why we're doing this. But I do want to focus on Jesus a lot tonight, and we're going to do that as we look at some Bible together. So if you've got a Bible on you, which I hope you have, either physically or in your phone or on a tablet or something, if you could turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You'll know at least one verse from this if you've got the pastoral letter we sent out earlier in the week, because we used that, and you'll hear it as it comes up. But I thought I'd just spend a little while looking at this passage. I think it's, and I read it a couple of weeks ago, and it just came to mind when all of this really began to develop at the beginning of the week. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'll read it for us. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazezon Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshipped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked forward towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Beraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Well, goodness, it is an amazing story. Jehoshaphat, we're talking mid-9th century BC. Apparently, this season that we're in is going to become, is it BC and AC? Is the definition. BC and AC is the time that we're going to live in. 2020 will be the kind of definition of that. Before Corona and after Corona. Well, Jehoshaphat lived in the mid-9th century BC before Jesus, before Christ. And he was a good king. He was a king who disrupted the idol worship that that folk had been engaging in. And he had his eyes on the Lord. He kept the focus, and he called God's people to have the right focus as well. But it was not easy. Walking with God is not an easy walk. And sometimes curveballs come our way, and difficult things happen. And how we respond to that is really important. And there's some lessons about that, I think. Now, this has been a hard week. I think I've said that a number of times. I've been struggling for all sorts of reasons. Some of it personal, family things happening. Both my daughters are struggling with different things. One ill, one struggling with loss of a dear friend who we watched growing up, who we think has lost her life. And those things going on, as well as everything else, and having to, I struggled with the disruption. You know, Easter's not happening. We had great plans for outreach at Easter, the family fun day, and delivering invitations around the area. We've got this stack of magazines to give out to people, and I just, you know, all our best laid plans completely out the window. And it's taken me a few days to kind of adjust to that. Well, it's a new world, and we have to think in a new way. And actually, you know, it's where we're going to look. You know, we can worry about everything, and we're not able to meet in church. We're not going to meet in church for some months probably together. And we might not even see each other face to face for a long time. So we have to work out. We have to look at where we're going to draw our sustenance from, and what are the important things. And maybe this is a time just to get our act together at a spiritual level, and to turn in a different direction. So let me just draw out a few things from this passage. A few observations. It begins with that there's going to be a tax, there's going to be pressure. An obvious thing to say about all of that is, goodness, our country, our world is being disrupted in ways, unimaginable ways. We've lived in such comfort and security, and that's going out the window. I mean, you know, the government is having to bail us out in ways that would have been unimaginable. And, you know, in December when we were having a general election, could you imagine the Prime Minister spending the kind of money that he's talking about spending? See, we don't know. I mean, the politicians don't know what lies around the corner. We can't put our trust in princes and kings and chariots and horses and all that stuff, because we could well come under attack, and we could come under pressure. And that's exactly what happened for Jehoshaphat. He was a good king, doing the right thing. Things didn't work out. And the Moabites and Ammonites are coming, and the Meunites as well come after him. And he gets intelligence, doesn't he? Verse 2, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. And they tell him where it is. His response is he's alarmed. He's troubled by it. We should be alarmed by what's happening. You know, we should be alarmed by it. We should be upset by it. It's okay to feel that. We should be alarmed by what's happening. We should be alarmed by how people are responding if panic buying is going on. We should be alarmed by the things that pressurise us and pressurise people. And Jehoshaphat is certainly that. He is alarmed because he hears that. Now, he's alarmed for himself, but he's also alarmed for his people, the people that are around him. It's not just about him. It's not a narcissistic thing. It's, you know, I'm going to lose being a king. This is a good king. He's concerned about people, and he's concerned about the glory of God and what this attack might mean. But notice what he does in verse 3. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He resolved to talk to the Lord, to say, Lord, what are you saying in the midst of this? Not just to the nation, but to me. Lord, what are you? Where do you want us to be? What do you want us to be doing? How do you want us to be acting? How should we respond? What should our strategy and our tactic be? He's explicit about that. He'd resolved, he decided he was going to do that. It's a great question for us. What are we resolving to do in the face of everything that's happening? Are we looking in the right places? Are we kind of folding in on ourselves? Are we just focusing on what we think and what we need? And notice this, he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. You've got to seek the Lord. If you're going to seek the Lord, you've got to do it with some seriousness. Now, one of the things that's happening on Sunday, I've had a number of emails from different people. Duncan Cuttle from Edinburgh City Mission sent me an email to say, Monday the 23rd, we're going to have a day of prayer for the city of Edinburgh. And I kind of got back to Duncan and said, well, Duncan, you know that we're having a day of prayer on Sunday, that the EA and the Archbishop of Canterbury have called that we should be in a day of prayer and fasting. Now, Monday we can have a day of prayer. Tuesday we can have a day of prayer. We probably need to have Wednesday as a day of prayer, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday every day. You know, the one thing that needs to be happening now is we should be driven to our knees in prayer. This is what we are experiencing is like nothing that most of us who will be listening to this have ever experienced. The nearest thing that people are likening it to is the Second World War and the kind of sacrifices that people had to make. Then we're facing, we're all going to be poor. We're going to have to make sacrifices. So what do we do in the face of that? Well, we can get really worried and upset. Much better to turn to the Lord. Let's fast. Let's hold back. I'm not going to fast. I mean, when you fast, if you're called to fast and you're on a diet, that seems like quite a good thing. That'll be easy. But it's not the grounds for fasting, is it? It's not the way to do it. It's got to cost you something. And it's kind of the idea behind fasting is that you're seeking the Lord in the midst of that. And when you get those hunger pangs, it makes you think, it's the Lord I need. It reminds you, it's the Lord I need more than anything else. So I think that's right. Sunday night, let's take some time fasting. If you're not one of the vulnerable people, vulnerable groups, and you can take some time not eating, then do that. I think on Sunday night we're encouraged to light a candle and put it in the window. Lighting candles is a good thing. I did think the other night we might join in with Sunshine on Leith, you know, the Proclaimer song. I think we're doing it again the other night in Edinburgh, and I did fancy doing that in Belgrave Road. I'm not sure how it would have gone down, blaring out. I would open the windows out and put the speakers up and play Sunshine and Leith. But I think an indication, you know, of our faith and our trust, we're lighting a candle and we're praying to the Lord. And then notice verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. People cry out. I really wonder whether what's going to happen in our nation is people are going to be wondering, you know, what's happening here? You know, people are going to be befuddled and troubled and lost. And okay, how do we engage? Well, one of the things that maybe will happen, I think there's a sea change happening in the church. I was on a seminar, some of you, Richard and Triona, were also in a webinar to learn how to broadcast, how to do live streaming. on Wednesday night, and there were 77, mostly church leaders in this thing from all over Scotland. It was the guys that did the sound system for St Thomas's who were running it, and so we're all having to learn new skills, how this goes, and how to communicate. And you know, I was talking to people today, and I was telling them, "Oh, we've gone online together." They were asking me what's happening with church, and I was able to say that. So you know, we've got this great opportunity just by word of mouth. One of the things I'm going to try and do is most days, if not every day, I'll try and put something video based, a little, you know, word from the Lord, thought for the day kind of thing. And that's something that you can pass on to friends, and hopefully it would be encouraging. Someone the other day said to me, they messaged me to say they've got some friends who are feeling fearful. Would it be okay to tag them and let them listen in on one of the video posts that we were making? And of course, you know, it's, you know, if we're trying to point people to Jesus, then you know, we want people to kind of hear him and hear his message. So I think this is something we pray for tonight. Let's pray that the people in the church, first of all, not the people of the nation, but first of all, us, that Lord's people would seek him. You know, revival comes. When revival comes, it doesn't come because lots of people outside the church come to faith. Revival comes when the church gets on its knees and repents and says, you know, Lord, we've got it wrong and we need you. So we're under attack, we're under pressure, we can't meet, but we can seek the Lord. So will we do that? Will we seek the Lord together in the days to come? Then verse 5, we're not going to get very far. This is one of those where we might not get to the end. Some of you will be happy about that. Just a wee interlude at this point that I want to share with you about the importance of what we're doing tonight. Reasons to watch church online. First of all, you don't have to park the car. You don't have to find a parking space if you come to church by car. Number two, you can refill your coffee anytime, so you can get up and go and get a coffee. If we move over to using Zoom, that will be a little bit more difficult because we can watch one another, but you can still do it. Number three, you can be in your pyjamas. I wonder what you're wearing. Yeah, maybe you should share that in the comments. If you're already in your jammies, you could tell us. No photographs. Please don't post any photographs of you in your jammies. Yeah, Ali's in hers, actually. I've given it away. And then number four, and most importantly, some of you will love this, number four is you can mute the minister. Some of you have probably done that already. So, you know, we've got a great opportunity here as we meet like this to share it with other people. Verse 5. Go back to scripture. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And I just love this, that there is Jehoshaphat basically worshipping the Lord. He's turning to the Lord and worshipping him. He, you know, everybody, all our forebears, our forerunners worshipped you, and you're the God in heaven. We worship you. I worship you, he says. You rule over all the nation, all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. So you face a time of trial. There can be a reorientation, a turning away from the things that you think are important. So, you know, materialism and enjoy. I mean, can you imagine tonight, every single pub, every single restaurant, the cinemas are all closed. You know, the entertainment world that is, you know, we enjoy and is a great gift, it's disappeared. It's no longer there. The things that, you know, the guy called Neil Postman wrote a book about 30 years ago. It was called Entertaining Ourselves to Death. And basically his thesis was that really the whole world of entertainment was going to destroy our ability to think and our ability to relate to one another. And I think that's probably true. Well, tonight, a lot of that is gone. Theatres are closed. Cinemas are closed. You can't eat out anywhere. You can't go and have a beer in the pub. We walked past our favourite wine bar tonight a bit earlier on, and we thought, should we pop in and have a little glass? And we didn't, and now it's gone, and it will be shut, and we've missed that opportunity. But hey, that is just
It's really interesting. What are people going to do with their time? You know, how are they going to... Now, that's not going to be easy for people. People are going to be perhaps stuck in and they'll have to think about, you know, how they do things. Netflix, apparently, are downgrading the speed of their delivery of films and things because they think that so many people who are working at home won't be working at all at home. They'll be busy watching Netflix. So the entertainment world, I mean, the thing that would be worrying is if the internet broke. Some people would think if the internet broke, that would be the next thing, the next great thing to happen in the breakdown of civilization and culture. I mean, for our purposes, it would make things much more difficult. But maybe we'll find ways to relate and communicate. I mean, it's really interesting. People have been in communication with one another a lot over the last few days. We're going to have to do that a lot for a long time and keep an eye on one another and keep in contact with one another and ring people, call people up, call your family members up and just connect with your neighbours. Probably over the wall. I talked to our next door neighbour over the wall. I was out in the garden doing a bit of gardening this afternoon and cleaning the patio and got talking to our neighbour. But we were like literally over the wall and he was about 10 feet away from me. We never got closer than that. But at least we talked and we shared and we talked about what was happening. So this is a seed change. And maybe what might happen in the back of that is that maybe people will begin to seek after God. Maybe they need something more. Maybe that space that has been occupied by materialism and entertainment, but a gap, that spiritual gap that is created, maybe the Lord will break in and come to meet with people. And then Jehoshaphat talks about history and what has happened and that the consequences of previous history, and that's why they're facing this pressure. And then a bit later on in verse 8, it says this: they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and you will save us. So there's a kind of testimony of faith and trust in the face of, you're saying, if this happens, if we face attack or plague, even if judgment falls upon us, we are going to cry out to you. That needs to be our modus operandi. That needs to be how we are now, that we are people who are going to cry out to the Lord day by day. Lord, we need you. We need your intervention. We need your help. We are distressed. And not only us, but we can point other people. You know, we're going to have an opportunity to express confidence in the Lord in a way that we've not had for years. You know, where do we put our trust in? Who do we put our trust in? We put our trust in the Lord, trusting that he will hear us and he will deliver us. And it's the Lord that's going to deliver us. The scientists are working hard. Behind the scientists is the Lord. If there is a vaccine that is produced, it's the Lord's creative process, I think, and scientific process. He is kind of sanctioned that's bringing that. The Lord is behind what's going to happen. Verse 10 says, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And it's interesting when we listen to the ways that the economic crisis has been addressed. You know, the banks are doing everything they can, quantitative easing, reducing the interest rate, doing all, you know, using all the economic levers they possibly can to try and minimise the damage that has been done by this little virus, the effects of this little virus. And let's pray that that is effective and that it makes a difference and it preserves jobs and it protects the weakest in our communities. But notice this, verse 12, where it says, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. There's a kind of humility in that. You know, he had an army, he had some ability, but there's a kind of response there. Let me tell you about something that happened to me yesterday. Now, before we close, tonight we'll pray for Jamie Hamilton, who's in Cameroon, working for Chivas Brothers as a whiskey ambassador. And Jamie is in Cameroon and cannot get out of the country right now. So we need to pray that a way is found and that he's kept secure and safe. Let's remember him. Let's remember Gavin and Amanda, his mum and dad, who are members of St. T's, and let's lift them up to the Lord. But one of the things that happened yesterday was I know that the Hamiltons reached out to their MP, but I thought I'd have a wee chat with Alex Cole-Hamilton, who's our MSP. I didn't really expect a response. I thought we might get a little message back or something, but he called me up at tea time yesterday, and we had a chat, and he kind of tried to explain to me how the Foreign and Commonwealth Office might operate. And so we talked, and he said, I'd commented on something, I'd said we were praying for him and, you know, him and other politicians who were offering leadership at this, you know, in this crisis. And he began the conversation by saying, look, thank you so much for praying for me. And then he said this, he said, we're going to need more of your prayers. We're going to need more of your prayers. And I was it was a wonderful moment. I mean, it was just amazing, really. And then we chatted a bit more and talked about what was happening and what the Scottish government was going to try and do. And then I thought, right, I'm just going to ask, can I pray with you? Is that all right? And so he was in his car. He was on Bluetooth in his car, and we prayed together. And I thought, you know, we just need that little bit of boldness in these days. You know, we have a great God who's delivered his people in the past. He's delivered us all from sin through the cross of Christ. So maybe we'll get opportunities just to be a little bit bolder than we have in the past, and we'll see his hand at work. We've no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. So we cry out to you, Lord, would you help? Would you intervene? And I just love that, the end of that verse where it says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. And, you know, we could look at that from a government perspective, a national perspective, but I'm trying to look at it from the church point of view. That's kind of why it's in my heart and in my head. But we don't know what to do. We've never been here before. I think that's what flummoxed me at the beginning of the week. I was thinking, how are we going to do church? What are we going to do? If we cannot meet together, what are we going to do? How are we going to do outreach? How are we going to, you know, oh, we've spent money on getting stuff printed up. That's a way. I was quite angry about that, actually, that, you know, we've got resources there that are going to be more difficult to use. We can't stick things through people's letterboxes. They'll worry about whose manky hands have touched them and stuff. So, you know, some of the stuff we can store up and we can use in the future. But I've been asking that question. We don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't have answers. I'm trying to be creative. So you probably get fed up with me. I'll try and throw things out, you know, that can we try this? Can we try that? And it's like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you, and that's what we need to be doing. You know, we need to learn from Jehoshaphat and keep our eyes on the Lord, whatever circumstances come to us as individuals and to our nation. We need to be the people who have our eyes on the Lord. I've got absolutely no doubt about that. Just one last thing then, and I'll come to the end of what I'm going to share. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. And then he says this, Jahaziel, the prophet, says, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And the prophet then gives the battle plan. This is what we're going to do. This is what the Lord says you need to be about. Here it is. But the key is that beginning, isn't it? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now, I think that phrase, do not be afraid, is going to be the thing. It's going to be something that we need to keep uttering to people. We're getting a new Angela Benzies kind of has been a star this week. She's been doing all sorts of things. I discovered, talking about people being a star, let me just share this with you. I was talking to Shirley Sibyl. Shirley and Jimmy went into isolation 10 days ago, something like that. And I was talking to her on the phone today, and she said to me, I've become a top fan of St. Thomas's Church. And I realised what top fan is. You can have this thing on your page on Facebook where people get to be top fans. And I thought that the moderators got to decide who the top fans were, but it must be a random thing about how much you interact with the page. So Shirley has become a top fan of St. Thomas's. So I'm thinking we will institute this when we're back physically meeting together. Every week we'll have somebody that we'll get up front and say, this is the top fan, the person who's done, you know, the best job of being interested in what the Lord's doing here. But Angela's done a great job, and one of the things that Angela's been, she's working on the web page, and we've got to upgrade that, and we've got to upgrade our internet. We've got this, we're going to have a really lot better connection, internet connection at the church. So we're going to, hopefully on Sunday morning, we'll do our service from there. We've got quite a simple kind of setup, I think, and we're going to interview Liz Fairley, who works in NHS, is the plan, and then I'll share a little bit of a word for Mother's Day, and hopefully that will be encouraging to us. But one of the things, sorry, this was my main point, was Angela came up with the idea that we should replace the banner outside that will kind of say St. Thomas's is still meeting, we're just meeting online, because we need to say we're open. I was asked that question several times by people when I was in the church this afternoon. What are we doing? So I explained what we were doing. But then at the bottom of it, on the bottom of the banner that's going to replace, it's going to say, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Because you get it here, God's, the prophet says, do not be afraid or discouraged. But Jesus says that all, you know, right the way through the Gospels, it's a kind of stream of encouragement to the disciples. Do not be afraid. So in the midst of everything that's happening, we should be concerned. We should have a proportionate concern about what's happening. But Christians traditionally, you know, historically, what's happened with Christians is they don't run away from trouble. In fact, when there's plague, the Christians are the ones that hung around and kind of ran towards it. So this is kind of slightly counterintuitive, because we're all being told to distance ourselves from one another, not run towards anybody who's got the sickness. But we have to balance that with what the government, you know, the government is an authority, so we have to listen to what they have to say. But that doesn't mean to say that we should be afraid of what's happening. I think when we get opportunities to help and to serve, then we take that. You know, we've got those little cards that we put out to try and encourage people. If you want to put that through your neighbour's door, or hand it to someone that you know, to say, look, if you need shopping done, or you need help another way, or you need a listening ear, we'll be there for you. Now, the great thing at the moment is, like, lots of people who aren't believers, they're doing that as well, and they're kind of saying, you know, we want to help. And hopefully many, many people will do that right the way through this whole situation. But so we need to sign up to it, and we need to say we're going to help people as much as we possibly can, and be committed to doing that. But let's be a people of hope. Let's be a people of faith and trust. Let's be a people of passion and fire, and not be a people who are afraid or discouraged, or be discouraging. In fact, we need to find ways of encouraging one another. That's kind of why we're doing this kind of stuff, to try and be a source of encouragement to one another in the days to come. Right, okay, shall I shut up? You can indicate in the comments if it's time to shut up. I don't know if we've had any more comments. I need to check that and just see if we had any other prayer things before to the end of our time. I'm just checking what... Anne, you have put there, Christ over viruses and infectious diseases. COVID. Christ, so that's helpful, isn't it, to remember Christ over viruses and infectious diseases, COVID. I don't think that stands for, but it does stand for it now in our world. Anne's also said, please ask the Lord to give scientists miraculous insights and guidance in researching vaccines. So again, let's just pause And we're going to pray for two things and just a time of silence. So let's pray that last prayer for the scientists who are doing the research. I mean, it's great. Clinical trials have begun. It's amazing. The pace of that is just astounding, that they've been able to get that up and running and begun the clinical trials. But it's going to take a year, maybe 18 months in normal circumstances to get this running. But who knows? We cry out to the Lord. Maybe it happens quicker. So let's pray that. Let's pray too that there's a turning to the Lord, that we have opportunities to help people know that they're loved, that they're precious to the Lord. Precious, so precious that he sent his son, his only son, to die for us and for them. And let's also pray for Jamie and for Amanda and for Gavin. Okay, let's bow our heads again and close our eyes, and let's just for a few moments as we come to the end of this hour. And then I'm going to give the intimations at the end, but let's bow our heads and let's pray. So let's pray, and we pray for Jamie tonight that he would know your love and your presence, keep him safe, protect him and help him. And we pray that a way would be found to bring him back home to his mum and dad, to family and friends. Lord, would you make a way in the midst of the difficulties that Cameroon is facing. And we pray too for our nation. We pray for the scientists who are researching this virus. We thank you for that little acronym. Christ is over viruses and infectious diseases. Lord, may you heal those who are struggling with sickness right now. And may a way be found to bring healing to them, but also healing to the nations as well. But we pray in this time that there would be a turning to you. Let me begin with us. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And keep us in that place of humility, longing for you, turning to you, desiring you more than anything. And we thank you that we have the ability to meet like this for this hour. And we pray your blessing on us as we come to the end of this time. Help us this weekend to desire Jesus and to know him more, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of our time. It is 8:30. This is the first time we've done this. Your feedback would be helpful. If it's been helpful to meet like this, then let us know. We have another way that we can meet as well, which is a bit less public than this, because we've got this thing called Zoom that enables people to sign into it. So if we will do that at some point. We'll certainly be using it for meetings to do business and stuff like that. But also, I think at least one of the home groups this week is going to meet using it. But we can also meet like this for teaching and sharing as well. And then on Sunday, we're going to live stream from the church at 10:30. And it's something of an experiment. I don't know how it'll work. So we need to bear with us. And that'll be very one way. But we'll try and, we'll do interviews and things. The idea would be to maybe we'll interview someone from NHS on Sunday. We'll interview other people in the weeks to come who we think it would be useful for us to both hear from but also pray for, and just to keep our eyes on the ball. We will keep you informed. We'll use these pages, we'll use the web page. Angela and the team are doing a great job on trying to do that and bring that up to date. We'll also use email. I think one practical thing, I'm very conscious we have a whole bunch of people who are not electronically equipped or savvy, so one practical thing is maybe if you've got a spare smartphone or a spare tablet or something like that, or even a spare laptop, that maybe we could equip people and train people a little bit to use technology. If Shirley Sibbald, who is a fine lady, a fine senior lady, She'll be listening in on this. She might, she's not listening just now, but she will listen in. If Shirley's able to keep up, then most of us should be able to do that as well. So we want to keep people equipped. Now, if people don't get equipped, we're still, things on a Sunday, we will record and we'll podcast and we'll still make that available online. That's the plan, so people can still do that. But I'm really concerned for those who are not able to take part in this kind of medium. We need to think a little bit creatively about that if you've got ideas. But one thing you can do is just keep in contact with people, ring people, take an interest in people that you know in the church. Just keep committed to one another. We have to come out of this and then we have to meet again. Hopefully we'll all want to meet again and be together in the same place at the same time. But there's a bit, who knows what this is going to lead to. We need to be open to how the Holy Spirit leads us. Okay, you had enough? Right. Jane has commented on just cards that can be printed for folks if needed. We've got cards at the office to pass on to people to say, look, we're willing to help and so on. Just checking out everyone. Okay, right. I think that's enough. Okay, so I'm going to say the grace. You can join in where you are if you are not shy and embarrassed. So we'll say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Okay, stay in the peace of the Lord, and we'll be in touch, and we'll try and keep communicating. Good night, and have a really great night's rest, and may you know the Lord's with you. Amen.